Welcome to episode 37 of VALFA, Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English language VALFA Stuttgart fan podcast where our views are unofficial, uninformed, and usually unprepared. By the tone in my voice, you can tell what kind of episode this is going to be today. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hi, Travis.
You can reach Matt and his other inspiring commentary at Sail Racer on the Twitter machine if you would like to. Matt, before we get into what is, sometimes they call it, what, Victory Monday or Monday morning, or what should we call this?
I'm not familiar with a victory anything lately.
It has been six or so matches. Right, so we'll just call it Monday.
My children are both still alive, so I guess that's a bonus. It didn't snow more in Michigan, so that was great.
Yeah, it was, I was out there using the shovel quite a bit. My multiple shovels, as you and I have talked about, because you can never have just one. So yeah, we're digging out here in Ohio too, just like we're hoping that Stuttgart can dig out of whatever their malaise is.
Good transition.
Yay, thank you. Yeah, in the coming matches. All right, let's dive into part one, Matt. Stuttgart was at home. They fell to Frankfurt 2-3 in a match in which they did at least come back a couple of times. So this was match day 21. The first time these two met up, it was a 1-1 draw. Omar Marmoush scored the game tying draw or goal equalizer, whatever you want to call it. Unfortunately, Omar was in Africa helping Egypt make it to the finals of the Cup of Nations, which unfortunately for Omar, they lost in penalty kicks. Nice job, Omar. I got to work on that transition. That's a bad one, too. Good job.
That was pretty weak.
You lost.
I'll save you by pointing out the not at all hot take that penalties are the absolute worst way to end a soccer game. It's criminal. They should be banned.
You know what? I always liked, did they get rid of the golden goal in the 80s or the early 90s? I always thought that was a good way to go. And I think it was like player safety, they said, is why they didn't do it, because they didn't want guys out there for hours and hours. But there's got to be a better way. Yeah, I agree. Penalty kicks. I like the golden goal idea. Bring it back. Player safety be damned. I live in the U.S. where we have NFL football. We don't care about that. So, I don't know. Well, all right. So, Frankfurt lost to Bielefeld and had no Filip Kostić coming to this match. So, you and I talked before the match, and we were both cautiously optimistic.
No, I was definitely feeling cautiously optimistic, and you pointed out to me that the numbers in Vegas were turning Stuttgart's way, so it wasn't just us. I haven't watched a ton of Frankfurt this year, but every time I've seen them, they're a completely different team without Filip Kostić. And so when I found out that he wasn't going to be playing, I thought, we've got a real chance against a really good club to come away with one. And I was very wrong.
Yeah, I was the same as you. It seems like he's the engine that makes that machine run. With him out, I was really liking our chances, which is an odd feeling for us both to have. The other thing too is we just pick up this new kid, this 5'11 attacker on a 1.5 year loan from Sporting CP in Portugal, Thiago Thomas, who goes by TT, I believe. And I was excited to see him. Brings a lot of pace, I guess. He brings a lot of attacking flair to the club. So I was really excited to see him. And Kemp had left to officially go to Hertha, so that storyline had no longer been there. So I was kind of excited to see Thiago. And I was excited that Kemp, you know, was gone, which I know sounds awful, but we just don't have to talk about it. So the odd thing is the lineup made me feel really good too, because the lineup, we had almost 100% of everybody that we've ever wanted back to be back. It was the first time all season that Silas was starting. Sosa was starting and Kalajic was starting. So there was a lot of good feelings going into this match. Did you have any thoughts on the lineup?
Totally with you. It was the first time I've looked at it this year and gone, all right, and not like looked at any part of it and grimaced. Firster starting, you know, Firster starts, we win. Mm-hmm. So never super excited about him being in the start off, but I wasn't really upset about it either.
Yeah, I was going to criticize later about Tomas didn't play. I'm going to say his name multiple ways this episode, but I did text you before the match. I was like, it's probably a good thing that he's not starting right away. If he's in there starting, that's probably an act of desperation. And he does have to earn his way into the starting lineup and all that stuff. So even though I was somewhat disappointed not to see him in the starting lineup, for the most part, I really liked the lineup. The interesting thing was, and I didn't catch it till later, is maybe you caught it right away. I didn't catch that we shifted from our usual back three to instead a 4-2-3-1, I believe it was. And with Sosa playing in the back, as opposed to kind of playing in that midfield role. I don't know if you caught that a little bit, or did you catch the Dino Mavropanos playing in the center instead of Anton playing in the center?
I didn't catch either of those. And when you made that, you sent me over that note that, hey, I think we're playing a 4-3-2-1. I was, no, that's insane. We play three at the back. And even the apps that I use to track lineups and stuff, they all had us at three at the back with Sosa up on the wing. But yeah, it was interesting and surprising to see when it came out.
Yeah, and it was one of the things that was really interesting. And we're not going to really dive into the match a ton. The guys over at Hey Eintracht, who have a fantastic podcast, if you have a chance, go check out the first 19 minutes of their podcast, because they go over the Stuttgart match, and then they have Derek Ray, who is a fantastic commentator, who was the commentator of the Stuttgart-Frankfurt match. And he kind of goes over the details of the match, and they do a great job covering that. So if you get a chance, give them a listen over there, because they really dive into the game quite a bit. And he made mention that he could tell right away that when Dino Mavropanos was moved from the right side to the center and Anton was moved to the right, there it was a disaster, that Stuttgart didn't know how to play that way. They were immediately on their heels. Frankfurt took immediate advantage of it. And it took Stuttgart a while to figure out that wasn't working and to move away from that. But he said he picked up on it right away. And let's get into that right away. It's like, we're feeling confident going into the match. We've got the lineup we want. We've got the opponent we want. I don't know who it was who said it, but the first 2-3-4 minutes was a, I'm going to use their phrase, it was a corner palooza. It was
really frustrating to see, because like everybody knows, I mean, we know, so professionals who know more than we do must know this. Stuttgart wants to play out of the back. Short passes from the keeper up to the defense up to midfield, kind of ticky-tack up to get to the midfield line, and then you lose the ball. That's the Stuttgart way, right? And it's like Eintracht, somebody there watched film apparently and said, hey, this is what they do, and they overloaded on it. And it was like playing Super Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo when you guess the play that the offense called and everybody rushes over the line and crashed it. It's like, it felt like Frankfurt had 14 players in our end on top of the keeper as soon as the ball came into play.
It was crazy, to your point. They mentioned it, Sean Dundee was the color analyst, and the amount of times that he's said exactly what you're saying is that they've got to stop doing this. This isn't working. Derek Ray said it on the podcast with the Hey Eintracht guys. You and I were talking about it while we were watching the match. It was obvious that it wasn't working. And I don't know if we'll get into this later, but if it wasn't working, or if, like you said, other teams have figured it out. The one thing Derek Ray said is that he interviewed one of the after the match, the Eintracht head coach mentioned that they had studied Stuttgart going into this one, and they had realized one of their biggest weaknesses was on corner kicks. And they did everything they could to make sure they got as many corner kicks as they could get, because they knew that was, as Derek said, the Achilles heel of this club. And when you looked at the end of the match, I'm actually surprised there were only 14 corner kicks for Eintracht, because the first three minutes, I think there was three or four, right?
That number seems low and also depressingly high at the same time.
And the one thing, if you watch any Stuttgart matches this year, you know that we struggle mightily on corner kicks. And apparently Frankfurt watched a few Stuttgart matches too. And it was just one of those feelings that you got that after one, after two, after three, after, you can only knock on that door so many times before somebody's going to let you in. And eventually 7 minutes into that match, Frankfurt scores. And what makes it even more bizarre is going into the second half, it's the exact same thing. 1 minute into the second half, they score again on almost the same type of play. So like you said, it's so worrisome that this is a problem that we all knew that we had. We spent a week in Spain trying to maybe remedy that problem. And 5 minutes into the match, 5 minutes into the first and second half, that problem has been exposed again.
Yeah, and I feel like you know, if you're on the Stuttgart sideline, you got to look at that real early and see that they're jumping all over those short balls. And even though it's not the game plan, it's not how you want to play, you say, hey, we got to boot a few long. Just send it down route one. Let's see what happens. If nothing else, we're going to make Stuttgart or make Frankfurt respect the long ball and the fact that we're going to launch it and see what happens a few times. Maybe get our defenders some breathing room so they can attempt to do anything at all back there. Because they didn't, I'm not even mad at them, because as soon as they got the ball, they had somebody climbing up their back. Like, that's an impossible situation to be in.
Right. Both, I mean, both Anton and Dino had horrific back passes during the match. One that Mueller had to head out of his own goal. Otherwise, it would have been a Dino own goal. That's actually a part you could probably do a segment on, is Dino's laser back passes that Mueller is desperately trying to save.
Do you remember Alexi Lawless used to say, like, in the 90s, he'd be like, kick hard, until he'd end a bunch of his interviews and sign stuff and things. And I feel like somehow, maybe it's because Lawless is Greek and Mavropanos is Greek. Maybe that's ingrained in the Greek psyche somewhere, that he just does not know how to do anything but launch it with laser beam precision and rocket strength.
Who needs touch when you can just have power? Right? So, no, you're right. It's hard to blame those guys because they're constantly under pressure. They're constantly being pressed. And one mistake and something like that happened. I think Sasha Kalajic actually said that after the game. They were interviewing him, and he made mention to how Frankfurt didn't play. I'm going to quote him here. Quote, Frankfurt didn't play small in the back. They know what they have to do. Everyone knows what to do. We play small in the back. We don't just thresh the ball away. We just don't play hard in some cases. I didn't give the full quote there. He's not as negative as that quote makes it out to be. But I thought it was pretty clear what his thoughts were, that we need to just at some point launch the ball forward, use Kalajic as an outlet, because he does a great job of holding up the ball, then trying to do something positive on that end. And then we're focusing a lot on the negative. Let's talk about some of the positive here. One of the things that they did that they haven't done in a long time is they scored a goal. So that drought's over. So we've got that.
Amazing.
It was. And of course it was a defender that scored. So I'm glad that's not changing. But when they did start to play route one football, like you said, when they did start to play a little bit more direct, you started to see some results. And the goal that we've all been waiting for to happen, Sosa crossing over to Kalajic, finally happened in the 70th minute on a play like that.
And it was a total fluke goal. Kalajic got lucky, but I don't think it matters. I think mentally, emotionally for him, the fact that he put the ball in the net, which is his goal in life, should be a huge breakthrough. And hopefully we'll see him start to settle in and become more himself again here in short order.
Yeah, right. Because you could tell he was pressing, and I'm hoping that goal kind of is the launching pad for him, because he had that breakaway, what was it, at the 62nd minute mark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was a 3-on-1, maybe. And all he had to do, and he has great feet, was tap it over. And I think it was Mangala. I can't remember. Or maybe it was Tibbetty. Would have had a tap in. And
yeah.
So what does he do instead? He goes for
weak shot.
Yep, weak shot. The shot is wide. And just took all the air out of the stadium at that point.
I wasn't even upset when that happened, because he just wants to score so badly for his team and to get things rolling, and that he saw an opportunity and he took it, and I get it. And you wish he had made the smarter play, but also I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that kind of is going to get into, so the match ends on another bad luck play, right? Frankfurt kicks it into the box. Dino tries to deflect it, or tries to get out of the way. It deflects off him into the net. It's 3-2 before you know it. And that's it. It was a deserved win for Frankfurt. I don't think anybody can question that. It would have been nice for us to get a point, especially considering all the other results. I'm looking at you, Augsburg, that took place over the course of the weekend. But when all was said and done, it was a fair result. We're just in this place right now with a lot of bad luck, a lot of bad form, and it's leading to a lot of bad results.
We are the Charlie Brown of German football teams right now.
So let's move into, we kind of alluded to a few minutes ago, is kind of what is happening and who is responsible for this. And so after the match was over, Sven Mislintat came out, who we all love, and said very, very strongly, we are all in this together. If we get relegated, we're going down together. Matarazzo kind of reiterated that statement. And then Klaus Vogt, who's kind of in charge of the Stuttgart, how would you say it, the board, I guess, repeated that statement. But let's be honest, there are rumblings all over the place, at least among the supporters, as to what is going on. And I think I want to tie this into a question that was sent in by DC Weineman. And it was a wide-ranging question. What does it matter with the defense? Are the central defenders not good enough? Is the goalkeeper not good enough? Is the defensive midfield not helping defense enough? Is the coaching not good enough? You know, who's responsible for this mess? And so DC, Matt and I have decided to take it upon ourselves to tell you who's responsible for this mess in a new segment we're going to call Good Cop, Bad Cop. Matt, are you ready?
Can't wait.
Do you think I'll be able to find some police sirens I can interject? Yes or no?
I think either like the Beastie Boys song Sabotage or maybe the Naked Gun theme song, something.
Something
that'll get us a DMCA violation.
I read a podcast book about stealing music and getting sued. So as one of my friends who's an attorney says, Travis, you are judgment proof. I was like, oh, thanks. What's that mean? It means you have no money. Nobody's going to sue you. Yeah, I guess that's not that. All right, so DC, we're going to start off with who's responsible for this mess. Let's start at the top, Sven Mislintat. Good cop, bad cop, Matt, where are you going to go? And as we start these, let's be clear that this isn't necessarily how Matt and I feel about these topics, but, well, we ran out of ideas and we needed some kind of show to talk about, so here we go.
I'm going to take bad cop on this. Overall, admittedly, I think Sven's done a pretty solid job, but there's a couple glaring areas that I think are fair for some pretty big criticisms. First thing I want to point out is we have no reinforcements on defense. We're a team that plays three at the back, and we have three defenders. And I don't want to hear anybody coming at me with Atakan Karazor. He's not a defender. He's a defensive mid. Or you could move, one of our other defensive mids. For some reason, our captain's name is slipping right out of my head right now.
Endo, correct?
Yes, thank you.
It's a hard one.
We're having a day. I know Endo can play center back. I don't want to see him back there. That's not where he belongs. So we had one extra defender. We sent him away to Hertha Berlin. Good riddance to bad rubbish. But now what? Like, what if somebody goes down and gets hurt? We're screwed. And the fact that we don't even have somebody that we can call up from the youth team is just super problematic. And then sticking with the back end of things, the goalkeeper, is Müller really the best we can do? Like, we lost a unquestionable, huge positive on our team last year and replaced him with me. I mean, I don't know that I'd say Müller is a net, he's not a big weight on the back end sinking us, but he's not rowing the boat real hard either. So don't feel great about that. And then finally, thinking about big picture things, right now we are on a path to relegation, which does not make any of us feel great. And Mislintat and Matarazzo have made so much progress with this club and have so many things moving in the right direction. I'm really concerned with how a relegation year and a season back down in Bully 2 could derail some of this, because some of these young players we're bringing along, the lure of playing in the Bundesliga, playing against Bayern, against Leipzig, against Dortmund, like, those are big European clubs you want to play against. That draw is not the same if you're playing Holstein Kiel on a Saturday morning.
That's fair. I'm going to take good cop on this, and I should make clear that before Matt gets in, you can reach him at Cell Racer for any angry responses. We actually chose these beforehand because we wanted to have a little discussion here, because a lot of people are in discussion. And some of these we actually are on the same page, but I'm going to say good comp for Mislintat. The thing that, while I've been a Stuttgart supporter, the thing the club has lacked is a philosophy. And what Sven has brought to this club is a philosophy that ties back to its roots, you know, quite honestly, is the Jugendweil, playing the kids, letting them play, being aggressive, and going for it. And so we're buying back into our philosophy, and people like me can't all of a sudden say, you know what, the philosophy is not working today. We need to go back to super defensive, Hugh Stevens football. We are all in on this. And that's the second reason I guess I'll play good comp is the all-in aspect of it. It really sounds like Sven is all in with Pellegrino Matarazzo. And it sounds like those two are tied to the hip. And if they're tied to the hip, then maybe we don't have that usual infighting and power struggle that Stuttgart's had over the last decade. And so if those two can work together, whether it's in the Bundesliga, hopefully, or the Zweite Liga, which none of us want to go to, and they share the same philosophy and they're working hand in hand, they can get us back to where we need to be in a way that is true to the club's roots and true to the club's philosophy. The third thing I'd say is that I don't think anybody can question the talent that Sven has brought to the club, the youth that he's brought to the club, and the value that has increased with those players to the club. So the amount of players that are getting attention throughout the Bundesliga and throughout Europe is pretty significant, whether it's a Kalajic, a Mangala, a Sosa. If they're working hand in hand together, is Sven getting Pellegrino the players that Pellegrino wants? And so the lack of defensive players, is that on Matarazzo? Is that on is that on Sven? So I'm going to take good comp for Sven, which is going to tie me into my next topic, which is Matarazzo. And then we can maybe tie these two together. I'm going to take the bad on Pellegrino on this one. I saw somebody write on, I think it was on Twitter or Reddit or one of those places, that one of the system has been figured out, basically. Yeah. That we cross over to Sosa. Sosa dribbles down the wing. Sosa crosses over to Kalajic. Rinse and repeat. And teams have figured out that's what we do. And teams have also figured out that we can't handle this ticky-tack small ball built from the back. And they're pressing us, and we haven't adjusted. And the person who's in charge of that isn't Sven. The person who's in charge of that is Pellegrino. And I don't know how many other clubs would be this supportive of a team head coach who has 1 point in the last, what is it, six matches? So yeah. I'm going to go good cop on Sven. I'm going bad cop on Pellegrino. What about you?
So I'll take my good cop position up for Matarazzo. We've talked about this before, but with all the diversity this team is seeing, they have yet to self-destruct. And I keep expecting it. And like this weekend was the first weekend, even I felt like I saw some frustration out of the players. And some of that, I think we can contribute just to the sheer bad luck that they were having. And it, you know, it doesn't matter how together you are. If you get something like that last goal that Frankfurt had, bouncing off the ball, going wide, bouncing off a defender's back who was trying to get out of the way, like, yeah, you're going to get a little dejected. So Matarazzo keeping the team together and keeping these guys' heads above water, I don't know if we can really say enough good things about that and if we really fully appreciate that. And that the young guys that we have, they are developing. You know, a couple of years ago, nobody knew who Borna Sosa was, and nobody knew who Sasa Kalajic was, and these guys are developing and thriving under Matarazzo. We're seeing guys like Endo and Ito, and even though he's had a rough couple of weeks, Mangala, really, I mean, we've seen Förster get better under Matarazzo. That's he was one of the worst players on the team a couple of years ago. So he's developing the kids and some of the old men. And while you and I are on the same page about the changes being delayed, the changes are always good. It's a good decision. It's a smart decision. He's just making them a little late. And I wonder some of that, maybe he's second guessing himself. Maybe he's having a little bit of a confidence crisis. That should be fixable without too much of a big deal. But overall, he's a steadying force the players have been playing for him. They seem to genuinely like him. He's developing people. I feel like we can adopt the Jungenwald strategy again and be successful with it if we've got a manager like Matarazzo who's not going to pump the panic button 10 times a game like you and I do.
That's fair. I wonder what kind of good cop, bad cop program we would run in the 18th division of German football. No doubt take our clubs to there. I'm going to stick with Monterosso just for a second. Some of the substitution patterns are, you know, he's making the right decision. I see what you're saying there. There's some, I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know why guys like Omar Baez are not playing. I don't know why guys like Thiago didn't come on sooner. Don't know why Mangala is not playing as well as we all thought. He was, I think, at one point the third or fourth highest rated player by Transfermarkt when it came to potential transfer value. It seems like some of these players have stagnated a bit. And if Matarazzo is going to get credit for developing these players, what happens in year two? They always, in the NFL, I think it is, they talk about how there's a big jump from year, you know, two to year three, or year one to year two, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a lot of the guys are stagnating, are stalling. And that's, if Matarazzo is going to get credit for building them up to a certain level, he's got to get them across to the next level. And I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I'm wondering how much of that is to just the rough patch that we're going through right now and with all the injuries and all the bad luck. And maybe we're just waiting for that breakthrough moment.
Well, you know, one of the guys who I think is having a breakthrough moment, okay, I'm even struggling to do this.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm taking good cop on our goalkeeper, Florian Mueller. I've had it with all of you making fun of him. We have given up 1.8 goals per match this season. Okay. For Matarazzo's career, his teams have given up 1.7 goals. So even though those of us who have a love fest with Gregor Kobel, the fact is this team gives up a lot of goals, no matter who's in goal. And I'm going to take good cop on Florian Mueller here. A lot of the goals that he has let in have been deflected off Hikori Ito or deflected off, you know, Dino Mavropanos. I don't know how many of these goals at this point are actually his fault. I think a lot of it is, like you said, bad luck. He was an Olympic goalkeeper. He's not Gregor Kobel, but you know what? There's only one Gregor Kobel out there. I think he's done fine. I think he has not been, let me put it this way. I don't think he's been the reason that we've been losing matches. I think Florian Mueller is probably the least of our issues right now. Florian, I'm going to defend you. I'm taking good cop on you. Matt, what about you?
Now that I've finished my donut, my bad cop take on Florian Mueller is, first, never trust a Florian. It's our unofficial motto here, that and always trust Rust-Oleum, but never trust Florian. So he's got that working against him. My real, like, legit criticism for him is that keepers are in charge of organizing the defense for set pieces. It's the keeper's job to put people where he wants them, to make sure he's got the lanes that he needs, to make sure that people are covering the attackers he sees moving. That's on him. And even, like, I got my bottom chewed out a few times playing soccer in high school for telling my goalie where to stick it on a set piece. And my coach just told me, he said, I don't care if he's wrong. That's his job. And you need to let him do it. And I mean, Cornerfest 2022, our defense were not in good positions. They were not prepared. Nobody was ready. And he was not directing traffic in the box. And that's his job. And a drum I've been beating for a while on him, his rebound control is awful. A ball comes in, even if he's making the save, it's not going to go someplace safe. And that, as a defender, that's your worst nightmare, knowing that your goalie is giving the ball right back to the attacker, because then you've got to stop everybody twice. It's not enough to push somebody out to a bad shot. You've got to be prepared for the fallout of whatever disaster your keeper's going to undergo behind you.
Yeah, and sorry, Florian, it sounds like you're going to prison, buddy. Bad cop here might be might be winning. But you know what? You're not going to be alone because I'm going to move on to the defense, and I'm taking bad cop against the defense, Matt.
Do it.
There's only three of them, so it's be too many. So we've got Dino Mavropanos, we've got the Hikori Ito, and we've got Anton. And listen, guys, you're giving up 1.8 goals a match. It's not working. You're struggling with it. I think Anton has stagnated. I think Dino needs to stay on the right-hand side. It is a matter of time before there's a Dino own goal. It's going to happen. I'm going to say that Hikori Ito is hitting that. In the NBA, you see it all the time where there's that mid-season slump. Or you see it in the NFL football as well, where college players are used to playing 50% or 60% of what they play in the professional level. And that first year, they reach a rookie wall. I think Hikori might be entering that rookie wall a little bit. So I'm going to say bad cop on the defense. They're letting up a lot of goals. They're letting up a lot of bad luck goals. Their defense on corner kicks and free kicks is just abysmal. And Dino's a big dude. I find that so bizarre that he's not able to clear more balls than he's able to. So, Florian, you're going to have some bunkmates because I'm sending them to soccer jail.
My lukewarm gas station coffee defense of our defense is that the set pieces aside, they weren't that bad, really. And, you know, we don't have a lot of goals in transition. We don't have a lot of things coming from open play. They're generally shutting things down, keeping people to outside shots that then Muller is redirecting right back to the attacker. We've got Hikori Ito, who is not supposed to be playing above the third division this year, and he's holding his own in the Bundesliga. The ball movement on Saturday against some extreme pressure was as good as anybody could expect under the situation. And for the most part, you know, one lucky goal, one kind of fluky corner goal, and another just, I don't know, the other goal was like, you just tip your hat to them. They kept a really good Frankfurt side in check for most of the day. And they've been doing that with a lot of teams this year.
The problem that I'm going to have with my argument is that if I send these guys to soccer prison, our entire offense has just left the field. And we will never score a goal again. So maybe I'll back off on that. I'm going to go move on to the midfield here. And I'm glad we did this before the segment. I'm taking good cop for the midfield here.
You gave me an easy out on this one.
I had to look up stats to back up my argument. And as an American, I hate it when I have to have evidence to prove my point. So
I don't like facts.
Yeah, I went online and I tried to find some evidence from my good cop routine here. Wataru Endo is the third most traveled player in the Bundesliga this season in terms of mileage run. And one of the big attacks that Sean Dundee had about the match this weekend is that Frankfurt had outrun Stuttgart by 8 kilometers, I believe it was. Well, Wataru Endo is not part of that problem. He is everywhere. He's running all over the pitch. He's played every match this season. He's played not just in Germany. He's played all over Asia. The dude is playing everywhere.
He's playing in rec league games in Ohio.
I think I saw him play Rob the other day. And Borna Sosa, I'm going to put him up in the midfield. This team is only as good as Borna's left foot is good. And that's where, you know, bringing Rob back here. So we need him. Silas is back in the midfield. I'm putting him in the midfield. I put everybody in the midfield to make my argument to work. Mangala, when he plays well, he should have been subbed out at the 60-minute mark. But when the defense is able to get the ball to the midfield and the midfield is able to do anything, that's because of him. And he's the reason we're able to get through the center there. So those guys are the key to this team. Those guys, I'm being good cop for them, not because they play necessarily super well so far, but if we're going to get out of this hole that we've dug ourselves into, they're the ones that are going to get us out of it. So guys, I'm giving you parole. I'm letting you out. You guys are going to be the heroes when this is all said and done. Good cop stamp for me.
So you set me up perfectly because you're right. They are the ones who are going to get us out. They were the backbone of this team last year. The most important, most successful part of what made Stuttgart go last year was Endo and Mangala working together in the midfield. And I don't know where they are. They're just gone. This last game was, I think, the worst one in a while, where the midfield just, they were completely absent. They were a non-entity on the occasions that the defense was able to play the ball out the middle or out the back. They weren't working it up through the middle. They'd, you know, make one or two passes and then hoof it up to Kalajic anyway, or get it to Sosa on the wing and let him run, which, you know, okay, maybe mid. That's fair, you include him. But just and maybe it's because we know these guys can be so good, but I expect more out of them, and we need more out of them if we're going to get out of the mess that we're in.
Maybe you're swaying me over. I'm going to let you take your choice on attack that we actually picked beforehand.
So I'm going to – you've taken a couple hits on this. I will go good cop on the attackers, even though it's going to be real hard. I think we've got a lot of promise there. Everybody's been either hurt or out with COVID. We need to N95 these guys. Double, triple N95 them, give them hazmat suits to wear around outside of the training facility, get some wire brushes to clean all the rust off, make them take Rust-Oleum baths as a group. It's another Rust-Oleum shout out. You're welcome, Rust-Oleum. Getting these for free. You know, even Tiago, make him take get the wire brush in the Rust-Oleum bath. They're trying. That's about all I got, man. They're like, you feel for Kalajic because, like we said earlier, he's trying so hard, he wants it so bad. But I feel like with a little bit of time, and we started to see glimmers of this past weekend against Frankfurt, these guys are starting to get back and they're starting to find the rhythm. And once they do, I think we're going to be dangerous, and we're going to be putting in 3 or 4 goals a game, and giving up 1.4 or 1.7 is going to be completely immaterial.
You're not sure what's going to happen there. That's an easy bad cop. They just haven't produced. The fact that we shipped off one of our best offensive players, and he's a defensive or a center back to Hertha Berlin, says everything you need to know. It's been a struggle. There's no reason to pile on at this point. They're struggling, but let's wrap this segment up. We tried to have a little bit of fun with what has been a very enjoyable last month and a half of this season. I think good cop, bad cop. I do like what Sven is trying to say, and I do like what Matarazzo is trying to do. And I do like the idea that we're all in this together, come hell or high water, comes Vita Liga matches against Sandhausen, or if we're playing against Bayern. It's just such a frustrating time to be a Stuttgart supporter. And I think we're trying to blame something or blame somebody. And it's so hard to do that because what do you blame? COVID, bad luck? And it's like, yeah, there's things that Matarazzo were doing that are questionable. And there's things that Sven did that are questionable. And some of the players aren't playing up to what we're used to. But at the end of the day, is that the big problem with the club? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we're all experiencing, at least here in the U.S., where people treat facts as, you know, things that they want or not, how hard things have been with COVID. These players are no different. They're dealing with the same struggles we are. They've got families at home. They're stressed out about stuff. It's a difficult time, and that's reality. So as much as it sucks and as much as we want the escapism of watching Stuttgart pound teams like Frankfurt, we're in a rough spot and we just need to sit tight, because I think you said it earlier, we're on the right path. We've got an identity. You know, we're making moves that make sense in the grand scheme of things. And we've got, I think the most positive thing I can say about Mislintat is he's not panicking at all. He's not pulling a ripcord. He's got a plan. He believes in it. It makes sense. And he's sticking to it no matter what idiots like us are shouting at on podcasts.
It is funny though, like you said, it's we get so fired up the day of the match. And
yeah,
the 24-hour rule is just a great way to operate in life in general. And we definitely needed more than 24 hours after this match, because you and I and all Sugar Sport has been down this road before. And I think there's a little bit of resignation which is seeping in, which is bad. I hope yeah. it's not apathy, which is even worse. But I understand the people, because I am like this media after a match where just like burn the whole thing down, start over, hire somebody who's going to put seven at the back, and let's just try to eke out some points. But we've done that in the past, and it's gotten us here. And I will agree with you. Sven said in August what our goal was, and it was to avoid relegation. And I think all of us were kind of like, ha ha, Sven, yeah, you're just saying that. Well, he knew it well, much better than any of us did. So here we are, and I think the best thing we can do is just buckle up and hope for the best, and hope, you know, that that bad luck turns into some good luck for once, because Lord knows we're due. All right, well, that was our good cop, bad cop. We both turned out to be softies, and we're good cops. So we are the Barney Fife of police force work here. We've only got two more segments left here, Matt. We've got part three questions. We've only got one question, though. Robin at Flabby Viking asks, if you were going to bring back a former Valve Bear to save us, who would it be?
Mario Gomez, just because I like to shout, push the button.
I do miss that button. As a Cleveland Browns fan, we had an old song called Bernie Bernie, when Bernie Kosar, who was a quarterback, had three or four good seasons, but it was modeled after the song Louie Louie. And nice. No matter what happened, I love to listen to that song. I love pushing the Mario Gomez button. I'm going to avoid the easy one of Gonzalo Castro here. I'm going to go with a very recent player. I know we couldn't have kept him, but Nico Gonzalez would look so amazing on this club right now.
Your turnaround on Nico Gonzalez is just, I mean, if we could turn it into a painting, it would be hung in the Louvre next to the Mona Lisa. I love it, and it makes me so happy.
I'm so glad that we did not start this podcast the first relegation year, because some of the things that I wrote on our communiques are not fit for publication about that kid. No. I might name my next child Nico because I love him so much. Yeah, that was a bit of a 180. I admit it. All right, speaking of 180s, Matt, let's wrap this podcast up with part four, predictions. So next up, we've got that club Leverkusen, and oy vey, that's going to be a rough one. As Derek Ray said, this match could be, quote, brutal for Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Derek. So we are. Jerk. Yeah, nobody listens to you anyway. We love you.
He wouldn't even say, what did I ask him to say during the...
Well, you asked him to say cantankerous.
Yeah, that should have been easy to slip into the broadcast.
But I think you misspelled it. So you made that a little rough on Derek.
He's a professional. He could have handled it.
He should have figured out there. Well, Derek, we'll see if you're right. So we're coming up. The match day five, Stuart lost 1-2-3 at home. Mangala had the only goal. Stuttgart is on a six-match winless streak. What? But we just scored two goals. Leverkusen has got three wins in their last six matches and is coming off a win over a depleted Dortmund team. Predictions, Matt, last week, I went 2-7. You tied for the lead with Austin at 5-4. So overall, Austin's at the lead with 98 wins. I've got 90. You've got 88. And Jeff is still there with 85. Stuttgart picks, though, Matt, you're in last place. You've got 8 wins. Jeff's got 11. I'm not far behind with 9. So picking against Stuttgart has been the winning formula. In this match, before we get to the betting line, what are your thoughts going into Leverkusen this weekend?
I'm hoping the mighty aspirin brings some extra aspirin for Stuttgart, because I think we're going to need it.
Is this one of those ones where you're like, well, we got Bochum next week?
I think if we hang in there, a draw would be amazing. If we lose by less than 2, that'd be pretty great. Really, if we can see something more along the lines of a together coherent strategy on the field, like we were seeing earlier in the season versus what we saw yesterday, count it a win.
Definitely just looking forward to hopefully, you know, every year a team that's struggling has some surprise win, and we haven't had ours yet. And maybe this could be it. I'm not expecting it. So I'm going to go into this match pretty calm, pretty collected, looking forward to Bochum. And then Bochum's when I'm going to lose my mind on what happens. What do you think the betting spread is on this one?
We're at Leverkusen. I think they're going to give Leverkusen or give us two.
Just one. So it's Stuttgart plus one in this one. So what are you thinking?
Still Leverkusen.
No, me too. Leverkusen, you guys are the bad cop today, just like you, Derek Ray,
and the jerks
in the Eintracht podcast. You're all bad cops for us. Well, maybe that could be our next segment. We can make a buddy movie of some sort.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us this week. Hopefully next week we have a better match, a better podcast episode, just a better everything.
Positive note to leave things on for as bleak as things are right now. I do feel, you know, you pointed it out, we're big picture, things are still on the right track. Mm-hmm. Get a couple breaks, get a couple guys to stay injury free for a few weeks. You know, we're only 5 points out of being clear of the relegation zone. This thing could turn around by the end of the month.
And the other thing too is there's a lucky number 13 matches left in the season. So
I love it.
So we still got a chance. All right, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Travis.